Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And joining me is Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital, Katie Atkinson.
Hello. Oh, hey. Oh, hey, Keith. How's it going?
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
Hello.
Hey. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today's show is a special edition of the podcast.
Ooh.
Ooh la la. Dedicated entirely to the 60th annual Grammy Award nominations.
We'll be diving into the biggest surprises and snubs among the nominees, plus some notable facts and figures about this year's contenders. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts.
All right, let's get into it. Let's talk Let's dive on in to the Grammy nominations. Well, the Grammy Awards can sometimes tell the story of the year in music, especially in the big four categories, which are Album of the Year, which is an award that goes to the artist behind an album, as well as its producers, and I believe engineers and mixers. Record of the Year, which is a specific recording category that goes to the artist and the producers of a particular song or single. Song of the Year, which is a songwriter's award, obviously going to the songwriter of a song. And Best New Artist, which is kind of self-evident. What story are we getting this year from the big four categories, Katie?
There is a very clear story this year, and it is people of color, specifically men of color, and R&B and hip-hop. It seems like we could have the first Album of the Year winner that's a rap album since 2004, when Outkast's Speakerbox, The Love Below won. That is, of course, unless the rap album split the vote and Lorde's Melodrama wins. Imagine the outcry of a woman winning instead.
Oh, dear.
There's a lot of diversity in that top category, which is incredible.
Well, I mean, it's basically like three hip-hop albums. Mm-hmm. Childish Gambino, Jay-Z.
Kendrick.
And then you have an R&B pop album from Bruno Mars. And then you have Lorde's album, Melodrama.
Yeah.
I mean, the danger in that is that they could split the vote. And though,
hey, Melodrama is a great album. I'm not mad at that either. But I get
this could turn into the, you know, Beck Morning Phase.
Oh God,
you know, winning over Beyonce.
Sorry, Beck. I'm sure it's a great album. I've not listened to Morning Phase, but yeah.
Well, since Outkast won back in 2004, rap albums that were nominated and lost include Kanye West's The College Dropout, Late Registration, and Graduation, Lil Wayne's The Carter 3, Eminem's Recovery, Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, and To Pimp a Butterfly, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's The Heist, and Drake's Views. All of those were nominated but did not win.
I feel like it's Kendrick's moment, honestly. That's a good album, and obviously it's his third nomination for album.
We thought it was Beyonce's moment last year.
That's true.
But it was Adele's moment.
Yeah.
Adele
just kind of like crosses everything out.
Yeah.
So what are some of the big surprises across categories, Keith?
I kind of thought Childish Gambino maybe is a surprise. I mean, I know he's had a great year, but he's sort of a curveball in the record and album of the year categories, even though he won like a bunch of Emmys already, and he's beloved.
He's used to awards shows.
Right.
But we should say he's also known as Donald Glover, the actor and creator behind Atlanta on FX.
Which is what he won all those Emmys for this
mm-hmm.
year. And it's not like he's not been a successful artist. Maybe I'm just weird.
Well, so I'm super familiar with Redbone, the song that was nominated for Record of the Year. I have not listened to the full album, but I know that it's critically beloved.
Well, then maybe it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
maybe you've just told me.
And he's one of those guys that it's interesting for him to be called hip-hop anymore. It's very, like, Drake-like, where it's very R&B as well. It's very, you know, singing-oriented. Like, Redbone, there's no rapping in it whatsoever. So, it's interesting. He's still classified as, like, hip-hop guy, but it's a lot, you know, it's a wider net than that.
It's a melange.
So Imagine Dragons' Thunder and Portugal the Man's Feel It Still, kind of representing the rock charts, are considered pop records by the Grammys. And they're both up for Best Pop Duo/Group Performances.
Which is weird, but that's how the Grammys work. I mean, you know, they have all these committees within the Grammys mm-hmm. where they decide, well, like, is this really jazz? Is this really a yeah. new age album? And then they talk amongst themselves and put things, they reorganize things and shuffle things around like this big jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. And especially now as genres get harder to define, that sort of makes sense. It's still just weird to see Imagine Dragons and Portugal the Man, who are arguably two rock bands.
Yeah, well, and Imagine Dragons previously have been in rock categories for the right. Grammys. But then we also know from your interview with Justin Tranter on the podcast, like, they worked with him, and right. so they clearly went into a specific pop direction with this album.
Imagine Dragons is also up, I think, for best pop vocal album.
Yeah.
So
they just fully classify them pop, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in the best country solo performance category, 3 out of the 5 nominees are women. Alison Krauss, who is a Grammy favorite, Miranda Lambert, and Maren Morris. Let's hear it for the ladies. Considering the country genre is still dominated by men, it's pretty cool to see 3 women in this category. Women continue to struggle on the country charts.
Yeah.
You know, there's a handful of ladies that are kind of the standard flag.
Carrie
girls.
Underwood.
Carrie and Miranda. And, yep. you know, but now we've seen like
Maren and Kelsey are in there now.
Kelsey Ballerini, Lauren Elena mm-hmm. to a certain degree now that we're starting to see some younger girls kind of stake their claim.
Miranda got snubbed for best country album though. Just throwing that out there. Love Way to These Wings. It's such a good album. Super bomb not to see it there.
Bummer.
Did you know that Brian Eno and India Arie made new age albums in the past year?
They did, evidently. Surprise.
And they both got nominated for Best New Age Album. Eno for Reflection and India Arie for Songversation, Medicine.
Songversation is one word.
That's great.
It's a word that she evidently invented.
Songversation.
We're going to have a songversation right now.
Every podcast is a songversation.
I mean, it's interesting. I did not know.
Yeah, we did not know, and now you know because we've told you.
Yeah. Okay, this isn't really a surprise, but Death does have its way of perhaps helping shine a light on some artists at the Grammy Awards. And artists we lost in the past year or so, including Glenn Campbell, Greg Allman, Carrie Fisher, and Leonard Cohen. All of them got nominations this year.
What's the Carrie Fisher nomination?
You'll find out in just a second.
And so will you. Also not a surprise, but more of a nice to see you. The Rolling Stones got its first nomination since 2005, and it's in the Best Traditional Blues Album category, no less, for the Blue and Lonesome album. The band's 12th nomination overall, and they've won twice, both in 1994 for Best Rock Album for Voodoo Lounge and Best Music Video Short Form for Love Is Strong.
Love is strong, and you're so weak. You make me hot, you make me weak.
And now Keith's recording of it will win at next year's Grammys.
They should have a podcast category.
Yes.
Do you remember that video for Love Is Strong?
No, I don't.
Okay, so
I have to go back and watch it.
If you're listening, go watch. It's this great video. It was the first single and video from Voodoo Lounge, and it was, I believe it was directed by either Mark Romanek or David Fincher.
Oh.
I'm sorry, don't kill me. But it's all in
some big time director.
It's in black and white, and it's set in New York, and the Rolling Stones are giants walking around Manhattan.
I've seen this.
And it's so seamless.
I have
cool.
seen this.
It's so, and also it's just like such a perfect visual of like, literally giants of rock and roll, mm-hmm. the Rolling Stones, stomping around Manhattan. It's just cool.
Yes.
So yeah, it totally should have won. Back to today. I was a bit surprised that Hillary Clinton wasn't nominated for Best Spoken Word Album for her book, What Happened? But there are some fun nominees, as always, in this category. And I'm surprised that she wasn't nominated because it's just, this category is full of very recognizable names that are often just celebrities that are not musicians.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those weird categories that have a lot of actors and politicians in
Barack
it.
Obama.
Barack Obama's a winner in this mm-hmm. category. Hillary has previously won in this mm-hmm. category. So here are the nominees for Best Spoken Word Album, which includes poetry, audiobooks, and storytelling. Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, I want to listen to that now.
Born to Run, read by Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. It's his autobiography. Sort of an autobiography. It's
kind
of, yeah. Confessions of a Serial Songwriter, Shelley Peakin. Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. The book was written by Bernie Sanders, and it was read by Bernie Sanders and Mark Ruffalo.
Mm.
And The Princess Diarist, read by Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher, there she is.
There's Carrie Fisher.
And speaking of some big names, Bette Midler got her first Grammy nomination in 10 years for Best Musical Theater Album for Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
Of course, she won a Tony Award earlier this year for the title role, and hopefully we'll get to see her up on stage again because she was hilarious at the Tonys.
She'll just take over.
It's perhaps unlikely she'll win this year as she's up against the steamrolling success of Dear Evan Hansen.
Though, as the more I think about that, Bette Midler has a different kind of voting block behind her.
That's true.
And
that coincides with the Grammys.
Yes.
Yes.
Slightly older. whereas Dear Evan Hansen, though it is obviously this year's biggest hit musical, mm-hmm. that is not like this year's newest hit.
Yes.
Because Hamilton obviously is still a phenomenon.
Yes.
But this was the year of, Dear Evan Hansen, but it skews very young. So it's not an obvious lock for mm-hmm. this, a la Hamilton, mm-hmm. like 2 years ago. So we could see Bette Midler win.
Yeah. And it might be one of those backstage awards, but I'll be there and I want to see it. Oh, wait, no, I won't be there because it's New York this year.
Yeah, we won't be there probably.
Billboards will be there.
Will the royal
the
we.
Collective we.
The collective we will be there. Let's talk about some of the snubs. Just a few. We don't want to dwell too much on the negative.
But we did notice that our friend Ed Sheeran was left out of the big four categories. Considering he had 12 weeks at number one with Shape of You, and his album Divide hit number one on the Billboard 200, and is the year's number two biggest selling album, we kind of assumed that Ed would get nods in the big categories.
I did.
He didn't get completely left out. He got noms in the pop categories, so
right.
he'll still be there and represented.
Well, we assume.
Oh, he might
still
be there.
He's like, I got
better things to do.
I've got a concert in Shanghai. It's like, I've got 80,000 people who want to vote for
yeah.
me. I thought this entire time, as people were talking about the Grammy Awards, mm-hmm. as we were rolling up to them, my assumption, the obvious assumption was like, oh, everyone thinks it's going to be like Kendrick versus Ed.
Yeah.
Like in the top two categories for like Humble versus Shape of You.
And they're both previous winners and they both have been nominated in the big categories multiple times previously.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But this year wasn't Ed's year, and maybe part of that was, the hip-hop tide turned.
Yeah.
And, it seems like this is, as we noted earlier, finally the year that, after a very long time, hip-hop will win in the big categories. But don't be surprised if Ed Sheeran suddenly wins in the top categories, even though he wasn't even nominated.
The Grammys
are, the Grammys are just that unpredictable. It's a snub of sorts. There's no country music in the big four categories.
That's huge. Like, that hasn't happened, I'm assuming, in a long time, especially just like the best new artist category alone.
You can usually count on either a best new artist nominee mm-hmm. coming from country music mm-hmm. or specifically in the song category, the songwriter category. I remember when Live Like You Were Dying was nominated for Song of the Year
mm-hmm.
In the past, like, I think Kelsey Ballerini was nominated just last year, maybe. I could be wrong. Or Maren Morris might have been.
Yeah.
I can't remember now. We don't have this yeah. in front of us. getting a country album nominated for Album of the Year or a country single nominated for Record of the Year is a tougher sell.
The pseudo country representative last year was Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, yes.
In the Album of the Year category. But that was more like
Americana yeah. folk.
Exactly.
Of all the things that were out this year, all the country singles, the one that you thought would be a lock would be Sam Hunt's Body Like a Back Road, which
set a huge crossover hit.
It was a crossover hit. It was probably it is the longest running number one in the history of the Hot Country Songs chart. It is still hugely popular. Mm-hmm. And yet it was nominated only in the country field, not in the top categories.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, Grammys. Tell us what's up.
I'm doing the shrug emoji right now.
Shrug. I don't know.
I think that I speak for the entire podcast audience here when I say, what do the guys of One Direction have to do to get a Grammy nomination? Mm-hmm. The group never got a single nomination. And, maybe that's sort of understandable. Their ultra pop boy band don't always get super represented.
I still find it hard to believe they weren't nominated for Best New Artist.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure like NSYNC or Backstreet or Britney was. Like Backstreet
yeah.
might have been.
And so Zayn got close this year because his song with Taylor Swift, I Don't Want to Live Forever, is nominated for Best Song Written for Visual Media, but that is a Songwriter's Award, and he didn't write the song.
Well, damn it, Zayn. Why didn't you write the song?
But I thought Harry was the better bet with his debut album. It was critically acclaimed, had a lot of good songs on it. It kind of had a classic rock lean, and so it seems like maybe the Grammy voters would have... you know, bit onto that. And actually, Rolling Stone named Sign of the Times their Song of the Year. Number one on their Song of the Year list.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, I think out of any of them, I think all of them, except kind of for Zayn, Zayn could have had a shot in the pop duo with Taylor. Because Taylor's a big name, and mm-hmm. Zayn's a big name, and it was a hit record, so that was clearly a shot. But those pop categories are very competitive. I thought he had a really good shot. I thought Harry obviously had a great shot with both his album and Sign of the Times. I think they were taking chances with him by putting him in some of the rock categories, which could have worked against him.
Yeah.
I thought Niall Horan had a great shot with
Slow
Hands.
He's got the whole Ed Sheeran singer-songwriter vibe that the Grammys clearly loved last year, 2 years ago.
There's only, evidently, in the pop solo performance categories, there's five nominees, and there's four women and one man, and that one man is Ed Sheeran. Mm. So Ed is... he's not going to give any space to his good pal, Niall.
Yeah, guess not.
And then after that, you know, both, Louis Tomlinson and Liam Payne both had singles out this year. Liam Payne had a huge hit with Strip That Down.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really Grammy bait.
Yeah.
And Louis, though he did have some dance recordings out with Stevie Aoki and Bebe Rexha, they were not hugely successful, and they were not, you know, even with Steve Aoki on them, I don't think that was enough to woo the dance voters to vote for them. Because the dance categories are very, very core dance mm-hmm. recording. I mean,
even Calvin Harris got left out of a lot of the dance categories this year.
If you're listening, look at the dance categories. The dance categories switched from being kind of like pop dance friendly, very like diva friendly, mm-hmm. you know, like 10, 15 years ago, to a very core dance, like true
DJ,
EDM dance stuff. And mm-hmm. so when you look at it, it's like Odessa, LCD Sound System. Mm-hmm. And those are like the quote unquote big names.
Well, and our dance team also pointed out that it's a lot of live recordings too that were big. Like, that's interesting. So,
interesting stuff. Also, no Shania Twain in the nominees, no Demi Lovato, no Miley Cyrus, not a single nomination for Post Malone, nothing for Selena Gomez, and Bad Liar was totally worthy of Best Solo Pop Performance.
Agreed.
And, you know, Demi, I thought it was interesting, I pointed this out somewhere, I was reading an interview that Demi Lovato did when her album dropped, I think it might have been with Idolator or somewhere else, where they were asking her, like the interviewer asked her pointedly, why did you put out your album in this really busy week? And it was the last week of Grammy eligibility. Mm. And she was up against Shania and a bunch of other stuff, and it made it for a very busy week, and that made it a challenge for you to chart high on the Billboard 200. And she says, well, you know, we were talking with, you know, our team, and we decided, you know, we didn't care about the charts. We wanted to make sure that we were eligible for Grammy consideration. Mm. And that didn't seem to matter because she wasn't nominated.
Not this time. Not I feel like it's like just a matter of time for her to get nominated.
She was nominated before, but she didn't win.
Yeah.
And I forget what the nomination was for, but I totally thought Sorry Not Sorry at least had a shot this year. It's her biggest hit ever. But, you know, whenever someone says, man, so-and-so didn't get nominated, so-and-so, and like, you know, when the Beliebers were freaking out for like so many years that he hadn't won, I'm like, you know, as a Madonna fan, just to bring her up in every show, like, she didn't win a Grammy until like 6 or 7 years, you know, it's like 6 years or 6 or 7 years into her career, like in 1991, and it was for like a video.
Yeah.
And she didn't ever get nominated for Record or Album of the Year until Ray of Light.
Yeah.
In 1998, which is her first album was in 84, 83.
Wow.
So y'all just chill.
Calm down. Wait it out.
And not saying that it's like you have to wait too. I know things have changed, but it's like, you know what? Like, the Rolling Stones didn't win a competitive award until, like, Voodoo Lounge in 1994.
Yeah.
Like,
history will remember them kindly.
Yes.
It's all good.
Well, after all that, if you want even more discussion about the Grammy Award nominations, we have you covered. You can, of course, visit Billboard.com. We'll be covering the awards inside and out from now until the show itself, which will air on January 28th. From Madison Square Garden in New York. Katie and I probably won't be there, but you never know. We might be.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? It's still a couple months away. And now it is time for the chart stat of the week. And really, it's Quiz Katie time.
Oh man, this is what happens when I don't look far enough ahead in the script.
This is a Grammy themed chart stat, and then also a Grammy themed Quiz Katie. Of the last 10 Album of the Year winners at the Grammy Awards, how many of them, as I cover up the answers so she can't see, how many of them hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart? And I will tell you what they are.
Okay. Oh, this is great. Okay.
I will quickly tell you what they are. Okay. We're going to start from the 2008 winner going through last year's winner.
Okay.
So, and I'll just say them quickly. Herbie Hancock's River, The Joni Letters. Mm-hmm. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss's Raising Sand. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift's Fearless. Mm-hmm. Arcade Fire's The Suburbs. Adele's 21. I wonder. Mumford & Sons' Babel. Daft Punk's Random Access Memories. Beck's Morning Phase. Taylor Swift's 1989. And Adele's 25. How many of those 10 hit number one on the Billboard 200? Katie?
I'm going to clock in with 70%. 7 out of the 10.
You are correct.
Yes! I wonder if I got them all right, too.
Well, I will tell you which ones were not number one.
I figured it was Herbie Hancock.
That's correct.
Beck.
Correct.
And I couldn't decide between Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. That's what, the one I thought wasn't also a number one.
All three of those did not hit number one. You are correct.
Yes. So I thought Mumford had...
Yeah, Raising Sand, I think, was like number two, which was the Robert Plant Alison Krauss album. Beck, I think, was top 10. Herbie Hancock might have been top 10, but only after he won the Grammy.
Right, right.
That thing was left field, crazy
obscure
left field.
Obscure at that point.
But obviously still lovely because he's Herbie freaking Hancock.
Yeah.
And there you have it, a quick Grammy related chart stat of the week, really just a Quiz Katie in disguise. Alrighty. Well, any parting words, Katie Atkinson?
Just happy that we're back in Grammy season.
Yeah,
it's been too long.
It's like it's the season is like the next 2 months is Grammy season.
Grammy season is 2 months of our year.
We are in the middle of Grammy season and technically Oscar season.
Yeah, no, the whole awards insanity is upon us.
Like, can you imagine? Well, working if you worked at our sister publication at THR, it's like Oscar season.
Oh yeah,
like runs in. I mean, aren't the Oscars like in March?
I mean,
February?
Well, I think Scott Feinberg doesn't leave Oscar season.
Yeah, Scott. If you enjoy podcasts, and you probably do. Scott Feinberg, our one of our fine coworkers over at THR, has his own awards chatter podcast where he interviews huge celebrities.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the
actors.
People that we see walk by our door because of Scott's podcast.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like you know, you could see Steven Spielberg one day and then Viola Davis another day. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, go check it out. Anyway, what song should we go out on?
Oh man. Goodness, we talked about a lot.
Something that is a nominee for Album of the Year, something that's a Record of the Year nominee.
Yeah, let's do, definitely a Record of the Year nominee. What do we got? What do you want?
I have so many options. Should we do Kendrick's Humble?
Love it.
Yay, see you next time.
Bye. Right stroke, put little baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you